Presentation that we're going to be talking about today is one that I just flew out and did in Savannah at a women's conference. They asked me to come out and speak at this women's conference. There are two men there. Before I went out there, asked me to come out there, and I said, you know I'm not a woman, right? And they said, yeah, that's okay, but you grew up with six sisters, it's close enough. And so I'm like, okay, yeah, touche, I'll take that. For those of you who don't know me very well, for those of you who do know me well, you'll know that I'm a big fan of dad jokes. I love them. They crack me up. In my mind, the definition of a really good dad joke means no one else laughs, just you. And that happens quite frequently in my world. And so if I say some of the jokes as we're moving along and you're not laughing, that's okay. Just know there's an audience inside my head that is cracking up, high-fiving everything, saying, Rich, you're a really, really funny guy. For example, I'll just give just a couple. I won't kill you too much. But like, you know, what do you call a deer with no eyes? Got no idea. Right? 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 Fish with no eyes? Right? What about a deer with no legs and no eyes? Still no idea. Right? And there's more. Anyway, I'm not going to kill you. But back on the idea, because I say there's a lot of conversations going on inside the back of my head. The truth of it is we all do. How many of you talk to yourself? Yeah, there's a few of you who are sitting like, do I talk to myself? I don't think so. No, you know, wait, maybe I do. Okay, we all do. And it's self-talk. We go throughout the day, and that has a huge impact on who we become and who we are. We think about it first. So I would encourage all of you as we walk through this today is that you, although you are going to have some self-talk, but try to stay dialed into this and take a few notes and get a good idea. Because the truth of it is, how many of you heard the saying that knowledge is power? Right? Okay. How many believe it? Okay. I used to believe it, and I realized it's a lie. Knowledge is not power. Knowledge is simply the opportunity for power. I have knowledge that I shouldn't run across the 405 freeway, but if I don't implement that power, doesn't do me very much good. And so as we walk through this today, I'd encourage you to take some notes and recognize that right now we're gaining the knowledge, but really where the magic happens is if I can take something from what we're talking about today and implement it into my life, that's where it makes a huge difference. Otherwise, you're essentially wasting an hour of your time sitting here listening to some guy tell really bad jokes, and that's not very fun. So a couple of ideas. I learned this from, again, from traveling around. I listen to other speakers. I steal different ideas from different people. And this is mine. It's a culmination of different thoughts and ideas from other people. But when I take notes, how many of you have taken notes before and you put it into your journal or whatever and you never look at it again? A lot of us do that. And the good thing about that is that at least it activates your brain and gets you more involved and more engaged with the presentation. The bad thing is that the Ebbinghaus Law, it says that if you don't review it, you're not going to really remember it, and it's not going to make that big of an impact in your life. So what can you do? Well, first of all, in the upper right-hand corner, you just simply make a little box. That's your to-do items. Then you take your notes, just again, to stay engaged. If you come across a note or an idea that's really powerful, you're going to do something like this. Go ahead and make a cloud around it, right? Kind of like those thoughts that we used to see with cartoons. Moving forward, if it's something for you to do, you're going to make a little cloud around it, and you might draw a circle, a box, and four L's. That's you. As it's a to-do item for you, it's really standing out to me. Moving forward a little more, staying focused, and then if it's something for someone else, what you might do is draw a box, an arrow, and Bill, I'm picking on you today, write his name, because that's a to-do item for me to give off to Bill, or whoever else it might be. So just a few ideas to help you out with your notes. Now, as I mentioned, I grew up in a household with six sisters. As a child, I thought I was very hard done to. Like, my life was difficult. It was hard to get into the restroom. There's other things I didn't like. At least I didn't have hand-me-down clothes, right? So there were some good things with it. But I really didn't like it very much. As I got older, I realized how lucky I was to be able to grow up in a household where I had all these females around me teaching me how to be a better male, right? And I learned a lot from them about body language and communication and things of that nature. Now, one of the side results, I'm not even going to say benefit, but I'll just say a side result of this is that I learned how to play with Barbies when I was a little kid. I played with Barbie and so forth, and eventually Mom and Dad got Ken, so then I could at least be Ken, right? And then eventually, though, what happened is I realized Barbies aren't that much fun, and I got introduced to action figures. I loved them. I loved my action figures. They were super fun. Super. No pun intended. It's funny to me. But I got to the point where I liked it so much that I even got my mom to be able to make me for Halloween a Spider-Man costume. This is back when moms actually sewed the Spider-Man costume and everything. And I may or may not have just worn that not only on October 31st, but on other days throughout the year. And even today, my family will kind of reminisce and laugh a little bit how I used to run around the house going, pew, pew, making the I love you symbol because I thought that's how he's shot his web. But I go ahead and run around and go around thinking I was shooting spider webs. So that childhood experience or those experiences as a child worked its way into who I am today. And part of who I am today, I have a little bit of a fascination with superheroes. But not so much the ones like the Superman and so forth, but more along the lines of these movies that you see out now, like where they have the one, the Unbreakable. Any of you seen that one? Basically, they take a very ordinary person who seems to be very ordinary, and he has somehow these superhuman powers. Same thing with Glass, The Umbrella Academy, Limitless. There's these shows that basically show how, again, normal people can do something extraordinary. So with this in mind, the question for me naturally comes, if I could have a superpower, what would be the ultimate superpower? What do you all think? Okay, so mind reading. You're in the business of being married? Is that what you're... No, children, raising children. Okay, mind reading. What else? Am I the only geek in here who wants superpowers?
Teleportation.
Teleportation, thank you. Ooh, that would be really cool. Yeah.
See the future.
See the future. Flying. I have that dream all the time, right? And you're flying, and all of a sudden you're sitting there going, this is actually happening now. And then you wake up, and you're like, no, it didn't. Shoot, again. Flying. So you can definitely tell that he's my dad, because he and I are on the same wavelength with this one, is seeing the future. To me, I think the ultimate superpower would be to see the future. And my reasoning for that is that if I could see the future and something bad was going to happen, what would I do? I'd change my path. If something good was going to happen, what would I do? I'd stay on it. I'd keep going. And so it's real interesting to me as you look at that. Okay, well, seeing the future, that's kind of a cool one. The crazy thing about this is that we all have that superpower, right? So we have the ability, for example, if I take this pen, if you think you know what I'm going to do with this pen, on the count of three, I want you to clap your hands. Ready? One, two, three. Okay, so got a few of you who are able to clap your hands. Now, the interesting thing about that is I said, if you think you know what I'm going to do with this pen, clap your hands, which would mean some of you who didn't clap your hands, you weren't even thinking, because right, there's no right or wrong to that. Okay, so that's okay. That just means you need more caffeine in your diet. That's okay. We'll work on this, or we need to get further into the day. So I'm going to drop it. If you know or you think you know what's going to happen when I drop it, raise your hands. Ready? Raise the hands. There we go. Okay. So that happened. We saw it. It was pretty exciting, pretty amazing what happened there. The interesting thing about this is that I dropped the pen. The reason you knew what was going to happen to the pen was because either A, you've had personal experience with it, B, you've seen someone else have personal experience with it, or C, you've read about someone else having personal experience with gravity. Now, some of you like didn't even raise your hand. You were using gravity to keep your hands down. That's okay. We get that, right? Again, we just need to increase your caffeine intake. But it's interesting. I'm going to assume most people in here have had some form of education. I want to just take a little sidebar for a moment. You've had some form of education in your life, college, high school, whatever it might be. How many of you read a business book, completed a business book within the last month? Okay, so we've got a few of you in here. All right, so think about this for a second. This is me back when I was in college. Why are you laughing? That's so rude. Super, super rude. So what if I came to you and said, you know, I'm really upset right now because I used to have a six-pack back in college, which I did, but I don't. It's moved to more like a six-pot, or it's got some cushioning around it, somewhere in there. But I'm really upset about this. And then we continued to have the conversation, and you said to me, well, Rich, well, how often do you go to the gym? And I said, I don't ever go to the gym. What would be your thoughts? duh, Rich, right? I mean, really? You can't figure out why you don't have a six-pack anymore? It's kind of obvious. Even though I was going to the gym 5 days, 6 days a week back in college, I don't do it anymore. And I think that's kind of applicable to us today, where you think about it. A lot of people look at it, well, hey, I went to college, I paid my dues, I got the diploma, I got my doctorate, I got my master's, whatever it is, and then you sit there and you say, done, and I move on with life, and we go on, and we stop progressing to the level that we want to progress, and we sit there and go, why don't I have a six-pack anymore? And if we just take a step back, we would realize, well, it's because you aren't working out anymore. So just a sidebar, I would strongly encourage all of us to turn your car into a mobile classroom where you're listening to podcasts or listening to audiobooks or things like of that nature to help improve yourself or constantly push yourself to become better. If you want some ideas from some books, I'll definitely share those with you at the end. I have a ton of them that I love. I love the saying that says, only a fool learns from his mistakes, the wise man learns from the mistakes of others. And if you think about it, that's so powerful. If you can read a book where someone will take literally 10, 20, 30 years of their life, of lessons that they have learned, and they condense it into a very short period of time, and I can read a book in an hour or two or three and get access to 30 years of experience. We'll come back to that thought in a minute, but I just think it's really powerful. Back to the idea about predicting the future. So at my house with six kids, if I go ahead and put cookies or any type of treat out onto the table, guess what will happen if I leave it out there very long? Disappears. As one of my daughters will say, it's magic, right? It's total magic. How does it happen? I don't know. I do. And we'd all predict something like that. Now, here's the crazy thing about this, is that this concept or idea of being able to predict, it's something that's in our DNA. It goes clear back to the Neanderthal within each and every one of us that we have it. You can depict or you can predict with the pen dropping and so forth. But if you go back further to the caveman days, if you will, where you have the hunters and the gatherers, what did the gatherers, you're planting crops and so forth, what did you have to be able to predict? Weather patterns, rain, and so forth. You had to learn how to predict. If I plant the crops in the fall, and that's the wrong time, it's not going to grow, I go hungry, my family goes hungry, and then we die. Right? What about the hunters? If I'm going out hunting, what did I have to predict? The animals, migration, what are they doing? Is it nocturnal? Is it dayturnal? Is it other urnal? I don't know. It's some other type of animal, right? I had to figure out when I'm going to find them, where the paths are to be able to track them down. And if I couldn't figure that out, what happened? I went hungry, and I died. Those aren't our ancestors, right? Right? Survival of the fittest, right? So think about that for a second, is that it's in our DNA. The real question comes is, how far out into the future can you and I predict? And the further out that we can predict, the more successful we find in life. And if you look at, here's a few examples up here on the screen, and you could take anybody in this world that's been successful either, professionally, personally, charitable-minded people, religious, whatever it might be, any single person that is quote-unquote famous, they've found out the secret to some degree of how can I predict further out than just dropping the pen? Can I predict out to the future to some degree, a week, a month, a year? And the crazy thing about this is every single one of those people has accomplished something fantastic. They have the exact same 24 hours in the day that we have. So what's the difference? Okay, it's how they use that 24 hours. How many of you seen City Slickers? Right? So you've got his name Curly, if I remember correctly. He's talking to Billy Crystal here. Billy Crystal's the big time, businessman. He's out there doing his thing, and he goes out there, get off the grid, and he's having this come to Jesus type of an experience with Curly, and Curly says to him, do you know what the secret of life is? And he's like, what? And what's Curly say to him? It's one thing. It's funny because he does it with kind of his finger curled. It's one thing. He's a total cowboy. One thing. And what's the one thing? Well, that's for you to find out. There's a quote that says there's two great days in every man's life, woman's life too, right? It's the day you're born and the day that you find to what purpose. And it's up to us to figure out what's that purpose that we're here, that we personally are here for. So back to the superheroes. When you look at the example of Spider-Man, his uncle came and said to him, with great power comes great responsibility. And that leads into a second superpower that I want to talk about here for a second, and that is almost like we talked about the beginning. It might be even more important than the first superpower of seeing the future, and that is your focus. Because again, knowledge without acting on it is just simply opportunity for power. So how many can you relate to something like this? Is that I get a text message. Well, let me back up. How many just within these, how many minutes we've been here? I don't know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is, have had something trying to take your focus from what we're doing right now already? Maybe it's your cell phone, your watch, someone next to you is killing you right now, right? Okay. There's always something out there trying to take our focus. And the crazy thing about this is the big companies in the world, they know this. They are doing everything they can to steal your focus and to have you stick with them. On the radio shows, what do they say right before commercial break? Don't go away, but they're going to tell you, like, in 5 seconds, you know, after this commercial break, we will tell you, bup, 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 and you're like, oh my gosh, I've got to know. And so they steal your focus, they pull you in, they get you to hang on a little bit longer. How many of you can relate to this? You get a text message or an email, it comes to your phone, I look at it and I think, let me look that up. And I go ahead, I minimize it, and then I go ahead and I go to choose your app, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, somewhere else, Google, to search for it. I pull it up and I start looking, and 10, 15, 20 minutes later, I close the browser, I close the app, and I go back and think, okay, now what was I doing? And I go back to the text or email, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot, I was going to YouTube to look that up. Let me go back over there again. Anyone? Okay, so they are brilliant. What they are doing is they are essentially grabbing your focus, taking it, and what they're doing is they're taking money out of your pocket and putting it where? Into theirs. Because they just got my eyeballs to sit there and go through Facebook or whatever the program is and to get dialed into that, and suddenly I get sucked into the rabbit hole and I've lost my time. G.I. Joe says, anyone know it? Knowing is half the battle. So, and this is a really good example of that, at least in my life, is I know that when I go to Facebook or I go to one of these other places, that they are trying to take my attention, they are trying to take my focus. So I will specifically tell myself, go straight to do it, and I'll keep saying it over and over in my head, tell the audience in my head all the same thing. No, we are going straight to look up this person. We aren't going to LinkedIn and seeing that cool video that pops up at the very beginning and clicking on it and start going down the rabbit hole. I'm going straight to what I'm trying to accomplish at this time. Now, the crazy thing about this is that this ability to get distracted, again, it's in our DNA. You can imagine being the hunter out and about going after your prey, and as I'm out hunting, suddenly I see something move out of the corner of my eye, and I turn around, and it's the saber-toothed tiger. So what am I going to do? I'm going to switch my attention now to the saber-toothed tiger, go ahead and fight it so that I can live another day. The person who's not able to get distracted like that, what ends up happening to them? They don't get hungry, but they do die, right? Okay, they die because they weren't able to do that and they're not our ancestors. But on the other hand, if you sit there and you switch, I love watching Discovery Channel. If you switch your mind for a second and think about these animals on Discovery Channel where you see them running after their prey, what do the lionesses or the tigers and bears do? Okay, that was funny to me. Right? Okay, but what do? They sit there and they watch the prey and they decide that's the one I'm going after. That's the one that looks the most meaty or, no offense, Doug. The weakest, still no offense. So whatever they say, I'm going after this one. I've actually watched a video before where it went after one and something happened that threw it off, and so then it said, well, I'm going after this one now. But now when I'm going after this one, what's happened? He's got fresh legs. How are my legs? A little bit more tired, right? Because I've been only chasing number one, two, three. And if you see an animal do that, what happens? They don't catch them. They go hungry, and they don't usually die yet. But if they do that enough times, they will. So just as a side note for this, think about this for a second. How many of you are in sales? Okay, we're all in sales. True? Even the people who sit there, that have many people in here of the noble profession, as my dad would say, those are attorneys, right? You sit there and you go to law school, you're a doctor. Even doctors, I talk to dentists and all these other people in my profession, and they sit there and they go, I went to medical school, and then I went and opened up my practice, or law school, and I opened up my practice. No one told me I had to run a business, or I had to deal with HR problems, or I had to sell myself all the time. But really, every one of us is in sales. So think about this for a second. Are salesmen hunters, or are they hunted? At the end of the day, the salesman is, they're going out and hunting. Okay? Now come back, help me connect these dots here. If I'm hunting something, do I want to get distracted, or do I want to stay focused? On these ones right here, the main goal is to stay focused. I need to get distracted if life-threatening things happen. How many times do we come across saber-toothed tigers in our world? Right? We don't. Right? We're in a very safe environment and so forth. And so, really, at the end of the day, it's about focus. If you're trying to grow yourself and grow your business and grow your practice and what you're becoming, it's about focus. It's not about distractions. If you're being hunted, yeah, you want to be able to get distracted, but none of us in here are at that stage in life where we are being hunted, and we have to worry about that. I would present to you that we all suffer from a new common problem, and that is, we've all heard of ADD, but we suffer from something called AAADD, and that's Adult Acquired Attention Deficit Disorder. It used to be that ADD is something you'd find out about kids when they're young, right, in elementary school. I went to a presentation once where the guy was talking about, it's been a huge phenomenon across the nation, is that all of a sudden they're having these kids that are in high school. And the first example, he says, is they came in there and the parent said, my kid has ADD. And they're like, okay, well, yep, sure enough, he's got ADD. Let's go ahead and deal with it. How did he fall through the system? How could this possibly happen? And all of a sudden it happened again and again and again. And they realized, again, because ADD is not something that you acquire. It's something that you're kind of born with. It's part of your DNA and so forth. But nowadays, because of different devices and things in our world, video games, they teach you to be ADD. Jump to here, jump to there, jump to this, go back and forth. It teaches us to not hold our attention to anything for very long, and we get an adrenaline rush from this, much like the saber-toothed tiger coming after us, we'd get the adrenaline rush. Same type of thing. You get this adrenaline rush, we become addicted to it, and as adults, we have ADD issues. So I want to give you this formula. I stole this actually from John. He stole it from someone else. I've changed it a little bit, John. But it's an interesting formula, I think, interesting to me. But you have discipline and competence, and we can all agree that if you put discipline and competence together, those are powerful things. It's almost like 2 + 2 = 4. But if you sit there and take it a little bit further, Simon Sinek talks about the importance of having a powerful why, right? That's like a multiplier. If you take your powerful why and put it with discipline and competence, it grows exponentially. But if you want it to grow even more, something that takes it to completely the other level, that is focus. You have to be able to focus, because I know plenty of people have powerful whys, but they can't stay focused on their why. And so what happens? Not much. And if you want to play with this, I've played with it a few times, where if you just put in simple numbers like 7 here, 7 here, and then 7, and then the 7 out here, it's crazy to watch these numbers, whereas this is just something, in 10s or 20s, right? Actually, 10s, okay? But then you go ahead and multiply here, you're going to get into the hundreds. But when you start multiplying this number here, you're getting in the billions, trillions, and whatever else comes after that. It's huge how much that grows. So in life, think about this, is that everybody wants to know, okay, here's my performance. What is my performance? So the truth of it is we all have a crazy amount of potential in our lives, much more than what we are performing at. And it's your potential minus your distractions, that is your performance. So if you want a better performance or a higher number down here, what do we need to do? We need to remove the distractions. So we'll pause for a minute here. What are some of your, it's a group therapy session, right? Okay. What are some of your distractions that you have? Or you can say, I have a friend. I'm okay with that too. What are some distractions?
Social media.
Is social media? Go ahead.
Solitaire.
Oh, God. It's so easy. All you got to do is double click it and it thinks for you too. It's like, all right. What else? Okay. Fantasy baseball. Any of those, right? What, waves? Good waves. The beach, right? That's a good one.
News.
The news. We just did a study at our company. 5,000 people across the U.S. and it was looked into people's happiness. And one of the things that they found, that one of the great contributors to people's unhappiness, is that they feel that they constantly have to be watching the news. Right? Social media, the news, and everything out there. Now, think about this. How, I think the technical term is asinine, this might be. Me watching the news, and whether it has to do with sports or anything else, me watching it, does it have any impact on the end game of what happens as a result? I cannot control it at all, especially by simply watching it, but yet I continue to watch it unfold, whereas if I just turn it off and check it out later on tonight when I have some downtime versus throughout the day, it's still going to be the same answer. There's no impact here. Yeah. Yeah. I would 100% agree with that. So a lot of it has to do with just internal dialogue and so forth. Sidebar from that, we know where that comes from. Could it be Satan? Who's that from? Come and help me. Church lady, thank you, there we go, you star child of the day, okay. Yeah, but right, we do have these bad thoughts that come into our mind, and being able to push those aside. The only way to get rid of bad or darkness is, how do we get rid of darkness? Light. So, the funny thing is that it's a little bit of preaching to the choir here with all of you here. I mean, we're here because we want to improve ourselves. We're all on the same page. We're constantly evolving. Can we improve more? I got tons of distractions every day, and I teach this stuff. And I still have to push those things. It takes constant effort. How many of you, for those here, who thinks they're decent at multitasking? Okay, we've got a few people who feel like I'm pretty good at multitasking. So we're going to do a little test here. Hopefully you have pen and paper. For those of you, you do it. If you have a computer, you can do it on that. But what we're going to do here, if you don't have it, just go ahead and listen for just a second. And we're going to go ahead, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to have you two do two very, very simple things. They're easy, easy things to do. And we're going to see what kind of time it takes for you to go ahead and do this. So what I'm going to have you do is take your pen. You're going to go ahead and you're going to write out your ABCs, A through Z, right? If you've got a phone or something else, you want to type it out, go ahead and do it that way. And while you are doing it, I want you to go ahead and count from 1 to 30 out loud. Okay, and while we do this, I'll go ahead and count out the minutes. I'll start at 10 seconds, and I'll keep going up for you. And as soon as you get done, just raise your hand. We'll see how long this takes. Ready? So again, write out your ABCs, A through Z, and count 1 to 30. Ready, set, go. Ten seconds in. Twenty seconds in. Twenty-five, seven, eight, nine, 30 seconds in. Okay, so we're going to pause for a second. Okay, we're going to, just for 1 second now. So what we're going to do now is we're going to do the same practice over again. What I want you to do is to write out your ABCs first. Next, count from 1 to 30 out loud. Easy? Ready? Set? Go. Ten seconds in. 10 seconds in. Okay, so way faster, watching your hands go up. So here's the lesson to learn from this, is that the truth of it is that no one can multitask. There is no such thing as multitasking on two cognitive ideas. If you want to play this a little more with your kids and teach them that they can't multitask, go ahead and have one kid on one side and you do a thumb war with them, and go ahead and play Rochambeau, rock, paper, scissors with the other hand. You can't do it. We physically can't do two cognitive things at the same time. When you try to do that, what you end up doing is you do two things poorly. That's it. And you're actually faster if it has to be a cognitive activity doing the first one, stopping and doing the second. I'll come back to this in just a minute, okay? What your day looks like when you try to do this is that you spend time working on these things, and here's your effort that maybe you've got a 70, a 40, and so forth, and you have 250 points worth of effort, and you have literally nothing to show for it. You would have been better off taking this and having this down here at a 10 just to add on the 30 and add the extra 30 here to get 100% of one of your projects or one of your activities done. Again, why does this happen? Is because we become addicted. We have AA, ADD. And it comes back to, we're afraid there's a bunch of saber-toothed tigers walking around our house or our office that get us distracted. So looking at the time here, I'm going to skip past this. If you want to get some other ideas about where the sweet spot is for all of us, there's some things. If you look at if you do a Google search, look up flow. Basically, it talks about in life where things that are really challenging. And then skills. If something that's really easy for me to do and it's not very challenging, I'm bored, right? If it's really hard for someone to do and I'm not very good at it, it's going to cause anxiety. The goal is to find things in life, or what we naturally start going towards is finding things that fall in this area where it's not too challenging, and I've got good skills in there. And that's where the magic happens, is finding that area in your life. So I'm going to skip past a couple of these items here. I'm going to pause, and I want to make this a little bit interactive with the last 10 minutes or so that we have here, and that is, if you have some ideas that really help you stay focused and help you to predict the future better, I would love to hear those ideas. I love learning new ideas. I will share a few from me and what I've learned from other people, right? So one of these is called the Pomodoro Technique. Essentially, it comes from the idea of, you know, the tomato timer. We've all seen those, especially if we lived back in grew up in the 1900s, right? Okay, because you saw those a lot more back then, right? But it's that tomato timer. And the idea with this is that you could take this and put it for just 20 minutes and go ahead and set that time to work on a project. How many of you have a situation where you have a project that you're like, I really don't want to deal with this, I don't really want to work on it, and you can't get started on it? Anyone? Okay, so we've all been there. So one of the keys to that is, number one, is they say you should spend the time planning out your day the night before and hit the morning and get started on the hard things in the morning, because you're fresh, you have a fresh mind and so forth. And as you move throughout the day, as we get weaker throughout the rest of the day, it's a lot easier. This comes with diet, with work and everything, right? If you have a plan of what I'm having for dinner, it's easier to stick to that. If you have a plan of things that I'm supposed to work on later on in the day, it's easier to stick to it. If you're having a hard time starting something, rather than saying, I've got to get going on this project, block out just 20 minutes. It's a lot easier to say, I'm going to spend 20 minutes on this project, that's it. Once you get the ball rolling, as you'll find out that first 20 minutes, as it starts going, it's a lot easier to go ahead and just keep going after that. The Pomodoro Technique tells you that you take 20 minutes, you go ahead and spend 20 minutes, and then you take a 5-minute break. Right, so that you can kind of recharge, revitalize the brain, take a walk, grab a drink of water, a cup of coffee. Wait, none of you drink coffee, but you know what I mean, right? Usually when I train, we talk about coffee. Well, there you go. We got a couple coffee drinkers in here. Yay. Okay. So, all right. So the Pomodoro Technique, again, you identify the task, set your timer for 20, 25 minutes, work on the task with no distractions. Some of the techniques that people will do that I try to do as well, there are times where I will take my phone and I'll put it in airplane mode and set it to the side. I'll turn it upside down, because how many times are you working on something and these things keep popping up in front of you? The real successful advisors that I work with, if they need to make phone calls and do things that are not so exciting and not so fun, they will literally print out the list of people they need to work with from their database. Even though they could look at it on their computer, they're going to print it out, put it in hard copy, shut down the computer, and they'll sit there and they'll start picking up the phone, making dials, and they'll make handwritten notes. Why? Because knowing is half the battle. They know they will get distracted with other things if they don't just get in there and get it done. Yes?
When I had a full-time office at Westpac, I used to sit in front of Rick's office. And the one thing that I loved from hearing, I gave him a hard time about it. he was in email mode. His alarm go off every. Why was that again?
Yeah, so for me, it's really easy to get sucked down the rabbit hole with emails. I hate them, and I get too many of them. Don't email me. I don't like them. But I get a ton of emails, and so what I will do personally is I'll block out some time to work on my emails, and what I will do is I'll set my alarm on my clock for 2 minutes. And the reasoning is that this goes from a concept from getting things done, is that I'll say, if I cannot get this email or this project done in 2 minutes or less, that means it becomes a real project. I'm going to set it to the side and come back to it. So I'll go through all of my 100-plus emails and zip through them, 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes, reply to them, and then I just have a few of them that are left over. Now I can prioritize those ones that are left over about the ones that are going to give me a better return on investment or that are partners in the firm or other people that I need to reach out to, then I'll focus on those and get those done. So it's a similar example of the Pomodoro technique. And again, it helps me to stay focused because very often I'll start going down the email and I'll get into one and I'll think, oh, I can get this done. And all of a sudden the alarm goes off. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is going to take longer than that. Okay, go ahead and flag this one. I'll follow up with it later. And I start going through that. One of the key things that ties into this is that from a secular standpoint, it's meditation. You have to take time to meditate every single day, right? Take time to meditate. The purpose of the meditation is so that you can reflect on what you've done so far this day and mentally prepare yourself for the next day. Now, from a religious standpoint, what do we call meditation? Prayer, right? And the crazy thing about it is that, you know, it's interesting how science and religion, they kind of intertwine back and forth and they come in connection, but the truth of it is, truth is truth, whether you're talking about it at work or at church or whatever it is. The truth of it is that we need to spend time doing this. From a religious standpoint, we believe that when we pray, we get inspiration coming from God. From the secular world, it's just inspiration coming from my brain or something like that, and that's fine. But you have to take time to do it. I was talking with a general authority a few years ago, and he shared with the idea that he is having a discussion with some other people, and me too, but he talked about how next time you're praying, instead of just spending your whole time running your lips, why don't you just pause and listen and put your timer on your phone and just set for 5 minutes. And when you're sitting there on your knees having a prayer or having some meditation for 5 minutes, 5 minutes is a lot longer than what it seems. And just let that timer go and just go ahead and hit the stopwatch or whatever and sit there and pray and meditate and spend some time doing that. How many of you have amazing inspiration come to you in the shower? Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one, okay? But it's crazy. Why do we have great inspiration come in the shower? We're not distracted. I mean, and that comes back to that concept. You can multitask in the shower. Why? Because it's not cognitive, right, to wash my body. I mean, I've done it so many times. If you want to really see what happens as human beings, how we go down these paths, try changing it up. If you normally wash your hair first and then your body, switch it around and watch how it'll make you a whole mess, right? Okay, so I've shared with you the Pomodoro technique. There's a concept that says that knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it into fruit salad, right? Philosophy is wondering if that means that ketchup is actually a smoothie. But we've given you some techniques here, a couple more ideas. When you're working on your calendar, block out your calendar in minutes, not hours. There's another study, I can't remember what it's called right now, but basically it says that we fill up the time. Like, if we say we've got an hour to talk about, we'll keep going for the full hour. If we have to do it in 30 minutes, we'll do it in 30 minutes. Why not make it something shorter? If it's really going to take and you want to put 20 minutes towards it, block out 20 minutes for it. If you want to have someone show up on time for an event, here's a little secret, right? Don't tell them to show up at 9 o'clock. Like, if we wanted to make sure everybody was here on time for the BYU management meeting, we wouldn't say it starts at 7 or 7:15. We'd say it starts at 7:13. Why? Because it's different. It activates the brain. It stands out. And people would actually show up more on time by doing that. Okay? So use white space on your calendar. That means you got to take time in the evening before to meditate and plan out your calendar. But use up your white space. Post and plan at the end of the day. Again, this ties into the whole meditation. Have everything in one place. Don't have notepads here or sticky notes there and all this type of stuff. Have one CRM, one tool, one program that you are going to use to manage it all. Remember, you cannot do it all alone. We were talking about this a little earlier, that as I get older in life, I thought I was amazing when I was younger. And I realized how I'm good at my one little thing that I do, and there's tons of other people that are good at their things. If you pull everybody together, then that makes the ultimate superpower team, right? Because now everybody has their own strengths and you can make a really powerful group that way. And of course, you need to take time to relax and recharge. Steve Jobs, I think it was interesting listening to reading this quote on him where he basically said, you know, a lot of people think that being really successful and so forth has to do with your ability to say yes to so many things and accomplish great. No, it's not. It's about learning how to say no. My wife says I suffer from this sickness. I don't know if any of you suffer from it. It's called helium hand. It's very bad. It's a little bit contagious. Someone says, can you do this? My hand just kind of goes like this. I pull it back down, and it's the helium just keeps going. Luckily, we're running out of helium in the world, and so I'm told, and so that shouldn't be a problem. That's a good dad joke to me. but luckily, you know, I have to work at this. Honestly, I have a no button on my desk to remind me to say no. Because there's every day we have to procrastinate on something. The question is, what will you procrastinate on? Hopefully, it's not the things that are going to make a greater impact in your life. So, we'll close with this last thought here, and then we'll go ahead, and if you have any questions or comments, we can go from there. But stick to your task till it sticks to you. Beginners are many, but enders are few. Honor, power, place, and praise will come in time to the one who stays. I'm not getting that right. Stick to your task till it sticks to you. Bend at it, sweat at it, smile at it too. For out of the bend and the sweat and the smile will come life's victories after a while. And Thomas Monson read that a while ago at one of the general conferences, but I think it's true, especially the first part. We get started on stuff. We want to jump to something else because, again, we have this AAADD. Stick to the task. We'll go farther in life. Thoughts, comments, questions, and other ideas that work for all of you to help you stay more focused.
I have a question for you and also for the crew.
Yeah. So one thing is just a regular timer on my phone, right? That's one. The Pomodoro, if you look up and you do a Google search, there's an app or an app store or Google Play, whatever it's going to be. They do have apps out there that are aimed at that, and you can kind of control the amount of time. Like I want to allow myself not 20 minutes, but 15 minutes. You can do that. So that's one. I hate to say it, but I have found for me personally is that technology isn't what I use, is I stay away from it because technology is the thing that sucks me down. I don't have a smartwatch yet. I love the idea of them in a lot of ways. The other part of me says that's just going to suck me down rabbit holes more. And so I try to stay away from tech.
Paper for lists.
I do. So what I'll do is I'll take the time, shut down the computer, and I'll pull out the paper and I'll do it. Most of the time when I'm writing out presentations like this, is what I will do is I will pull out a piece of paper and I will whiteboard the whole thing in my head. And then after I do that, then I move it to PowerPoint and I whiteboard it on there. And there's something to be said that happens with doing this with your hand. And it just, there's all kinds of studies that talk about writing out notes and everything is better than typing. You'll retain it better. So.
Something I've learned in my email is kind of along the lines of what Rich does. I have an inbox. I have ultimate goal is to have your inbox answered. So what I do is I have four other folders that are on the top part of it, and they're labeled ones that you need to do, waiting for a reply, needed to reply. I take when Rich goes through and does his things, the items that I know I need to get done for clients, if I need to get it done ASAP, it goes in to do. Something I'm waiting for, back reply. Something that is just there for me, I need to. So that's why I have my inbox, my other folders are where it is, and I use Outlook online, so I have to hit the red button to show that it's red. What happens when I dump folders, I know I have those things on, try to get it as little possible.
So
it says do the meditation, I literally have time on my calendar. On my calendar schedule.
That concept comes from a book called Getting Things Done. Is the concept there, again, pushing it off to the other side. I watched a video years ago where a guy said he had a video of him, and he went out to the front of his house and he walked out to his mailbox. Or no, he said, "Watch this." And he was videoing his wife out in front of the house, and she kept walking up and she'd look into the mailbox and she'd close it, and she'd go and stand there for a few minutes and bouncing her foot, and then she'd go and look up and down the street. She'd go and look in the mailbox again. She kept doing it, and he says, "Doesn't she look crazy?" And then he pulls back and he says, "You know, obviously my wife was a good sport in doing this." He says, "But how many of you act that same way? That you take your inbox, your digital inbox, and you keep poking into it or looking into it, thinking, what's next to tell me what I should be doing versus me deciding what I should be doing?" So just block out time to go through your emails, go and do that, and then go ahead and go throughout the day. There's another great article where a guy's talking about, you know, and his suggestion, this is all about mind power and so forth, is they say, do not get onto your phone for the first hour of the day. How many of you are on your phone, like, almost right when you wake up? You pull up your phone, you look at it, okay? So this is an interesting thing, and the argument is by getting onto our phone and looking at all the alerts and everything that's popping in front of us, it puts our mind into a reactive state. And by becoming reactive, it forces us to become reactive throughout the rest of the day. Who are more successful in life, proactive or reactive people? Proactive. Right, and so the argument is just take the time to go ahead and make yourself proactive. How do you do that? You're going to do that by not getting on your phone, taking the time and thinking through what your day is going to become. Other questions, thoughts?
I kind of saw you doing this when I was doing this. I will, in the morning, go through and do my to-do list. And then I'll write it out. So then what I do is I go into, with Outlook, you have the to-dos. I go and type it in the to-dos and transfer the information in there. Because then, if you write it out, it sticks to you. It sticks in your head better. But by doing it twice, by typing it out, then more details come to my mind that I can sort of notes. But then I have two check systems in place for me to remind myself what it is and where it is and what I need to get done.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Hopefully this was helpful. Appreciate you being here, and we'll see you next month.